Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, everyone? It is hump day. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone has had a good day thus far. We have a lot of action and a little time today. So we are going to make this happen right now for you. Welcome to the Sports Cave, the Cave Show. Like I said, this is PLR. Got a lot to get into today. The Suns, the number one pick in the draft. Cleveland, talk to me. What's going on? Boston's taking you to the woodshed. We're going to talk boxing today. That's right, Cave Show goes boxing about 10 minutes after the hour. Or excuse me, I shouldn't say 10 minutes after the hour, but 10 minutes into the show, Michelle Rosado will be joining us. Raging Babe herself is coming on. We are brought to you, as usual, by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally here in Chandler, Arizona. Get in there, let them know the PLR sent you from the Cave Show. They'll take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Or you can become a club member. Get you a locker that backs up to a humidor. And you never have to worry about your sticks going bad. Come in, pop them out, sit down, watch one of the many televisions on. They are always on sports. So enjoy yourself. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Like I said, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. So the NBA lottery was last night. An NBA lottery selection always cracks me up because most of the teams there are there because their season sucked. I mean, there's no getting around it. You're in a lottery because your team is terrible. So you get a bunch of fans to turn out to root that you get the pick that you, I guess, deserve for being bad. And it was a party here in Phoenix, let me tell you. If you don't believe me, go to our Instagram under the parent company name at the Sports Cave, where Cave is always with the K, and you will see just the fans that came down just to watch this election, how they lost their minds. There was cheering and clapping and hands in the air and hugs, and I saw a couple of people tearing up. Confetti falling from the sky. Well, it wasn't the sky. It was the basketball arena. But confetti falling from the sky. It was the first time ever in the history of the Phoenix Suns that they got the number one pick. So now we can let that conversation begin. Who do they take? A lot of people want the Suns to take Luka Doncic. Real Madrid. 19-year-old phenom in Europe, DeAndre Ayton, and that's really all it boils down to. That's really it. A lot of other people like a lot of other kids, but those are the two. Well, let me go ahead and weigh in on this right now. I know the NBA game has changed. I know everyone wants to free flow, and everyone wants to get up and down the court, and everyone wants to shoot threes like the Houston Rockets, and everyone wants everyone on your team to be able to be a switch knife and be able to do 9 and 10 things and shoot. Look, I understand all that. But you don't replace size, and you don't replace skilled size, and you don't replace big men that can do those Swiss Army knife things for you. DeAndre Ayton is that person. He instantly gives you something that you won't have if you take another 6'7", 6'8 swing guy. And I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to tell you this right now, Phoenix Suns, you have two other picks in the first round. And unless you go out and you get a quality, ready-to-play veteran, ready to fit in with this, more than likely, you're going to be back in the lottery next year anyway. And you know what will be sitting in a lottery next year anyway? A 6'7", 6'8", combo guard that can do a lot of good things. You know what will not be in the draft next year? A talented 7-foot do a whole bunch of things that you don't have anyone on your roster that can simulate. Good friend of mine last night said to me during the draft said they want Doncic. Half the people in that room and the media room said they want Doncic. I don't. If you're drafting 4-3 and DeAndre Ayton is gone, sure, love him, would want him then. Number one pick in the draft? No, please don't do it. I know the Phoenix Suns' new coach. Worked with him, coached him. Coached Doncic. Still don't want him. Not at one. Not at number one. And I hate to use this comparison. I would love a good hamburger. But if there's a steak on the menu, I want the steak first. But if they tell me they're out of steak, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to take that hamburger. But I'm not going to take that hamburger over that steak. And I know I'm not saying he's just a hamburger. But you get what I'm saying. This is your shot. Even if you look at rosters and you take rosters traditionally, this is the roster that you could have. Devin Booker as your two. He's the face of the organization right now. Josh Jackson as your three. DeAndre Ayton as your five. You still can do something with Elfrid Payton. Believe it or not, people have forgotten all about him. But the Suns do have a point guard on the roster. His name is Brandon Knight. They got to figure out what to do with him. Hell, they're giving him $15 million a year. So he's still there. And then you still have Chris and Bender to play your power forward. This makes it even more obvious that the Suns need to hire a big man coach that can teach offense. So you got a lot. You got a lot that you can do. You got a lot on the table. Now it's time to get it right. You can't mess this pick up. You waited the entire life of your franchise. You can't mess this up. Quickly, want to touch on a couple of the things. I got Michelle calling in here in about a minute. J.R. Smith last night in Boston, in the midst of them whooping Cleveland's ass, J.R. Smith took a dirty shot, a dirty push on Al Horford, who was going up for a layup, and he pushed him in the back. Look, in basketball, there's just two things you just do not do. You just don't do it. One, you don't bridge a guy. And for those of you that don't know what that means, is when a guy is going up for a layup or a dunk, you undercut him and cut his legs out. Kind of like you're a bridge. You're bridging him. And the other thing is when someone is jumping in the air, you do not shove them. Those are punk moves. I'm not calling J.R. Smith a punk, but that was a punk move. That's dirty basketball. And to me, the NBA is full of crap on this one because they have announced they will not do any additional discipline on J.R. Smith. Dirty. And he knows it. He said, I was going to call me out the player. And he said, I'm going to read his direct quote. It wasn't like I was trying to low-bridge him or something to make sure he didn't get it in. It was a good, hard foul. I can understand why they gave me a flagrant. Dude, you don't push people in the back. Marcus Smart did the right thing for running and getting in your face. That is absolutely ridiculous. The NBA calls more bullcrap flagrant fouls for hard fouls and give you suspensions for stupid crap But that's not a hard foul. A hard foul is going for the ball, preventing a layup, preventing an easy dunk. That's a hard foul. Pushing someone in the back while they're trying to hit a layup, while they're attempting to shoot a layup, that's not a hard foul. That's dirty basketball. That is punk thuggery basketball. It is basketball that's dirty when you're getting your ass kicked by someone and you're frustrated and you do that cheap crap. And J.R. Smith is very lucky, one, that Al Horford didn't get hurt. Two, he's lucky that Al Horford isn't the type of guy that jumps up, charges you, and hits you in the mouth and has the kind of discipline to know that's not what you can do or you should do, because Cleveland would gladly trade J.R. Smith being out of a game who didn't score one single solitary point to Al Horford being out of the game for Boston. So they're lucky that he has that type of calmness about him to not get up and just punch you dead in your mouth. But that's dirty, man. That's dirty hoops. And you know what happens when you start seeing stuff like that? That tells you the other team has more than been defeated. When you're getting your butt kicked like that, that's when you resort to dirty ball. And that is exactly what happened. J.R. Smith getting his ass kicked, not scoring points, not doing anything, resorted to dirty basketball. Well, look, we'll get into that a little bit more a little bit later. I am at this time pleased to have my good friend on with me. If you don't know her, then you just haven't watched boxing in the last few years, because it is Michelle Rosado, the Raging Babe, sports personality, marketing strategist, Morning Punch In show host. I can keep going, but I only have her for about 12 minutes, and there's too many titles and too many hats to give her. Thank you for calling in on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, my good friend Michelle Rosado. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Paul. I'm happy to be back. Anytime, man.
You are everywhere. You got all these productions. I remember when you were putting on boxing matches over in your backyard with three guys, yes. And now look at you. Now look at you.
I laugh because you're so right. I mean, you really witnessed me from the mud, you know, from the dirt. You really witnessed, like, my very, very humbling beginning. But you know what? Believe it or not, that's still where my heart is. I still love doing small club shows. You know, I'll be back in Tucson this summer, bringing it back to Tucson. So while it's nice to work with, you know, the bigger promoters and the bigger names and television, my heart is still in them local club raggedy shows. And, you know, that's where you find tomorrow's talent. It really is.
I was watching that. I looked at my wife. I said, you know, this is Michelle's thing, right? She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's Michelle. I'm like, she big now. So I hope she's still taking my call because she big now. You know, a slick cat from the west side of Chicago. I don't know anymore. And she just started laughing. I was like, she's doing her thing.
No, they always say, you know, always remember who was there at the beginning. They'll be with you at the very end. Everybody else in between, they come and go.
I hear you. Well, look, I know we've got short time. I've got some questions for you. And you know the best part about having you on the show, we don't hold back. I love your realness. Who is going to beat Vitaly Lomachenko? At what point does he get beat?
You know, honestly, I think he needs to stay at 135. I think if he moves up to 140, that's where he's going to get into trouble. And not because he's not as skillful or because he's not as technical, but it's just such a different weight class. And those guys at 140, they're like a different animal. So I feel at 135, he is unbeatable. I don't think anyone's going to beat him. And I also think that's where he should probably max out. You know, moving up to 140, he's going to come across some killers that are a lot bigger than him, a lot taller than him. They're going to be harder punchers than him. It's just a way different division. You think, oh, it's only a 5-pound difference. it's way different. It's a whole different animal at 140. So if he stays at 135, nobody's going to beat him, not even Mikey Garcia.
How much does it take? And you're around boxers all the time. What does it say about you as a boxer when you catch a straight right dead in your face, get knocked down, get back up, and then knock someone out? What, I mean, how much do you have to have that monster in you to be able to take that and come right back and knock someone out?
It showed that his mental is stronger than his physical, meaning you've got to be so mentally sound and so mentally strong that something like that can't break you. It can't shake you. It can't bring you down. If you saw, he got right back up, and when he went to his corner, he shook his head like, I'm good, you know? And
yeah.
And not every fighter reacts like that. They get scared. They get nervous. They get hesitant. They start fighting scared the rest of the fight because they don't want to get dropped again. And instead, it was like, oh, okay, it happened. Moving on, moving forward. You know, his mental is so incredible. If you saw before the Linares fight, ESPN showed a little clip of him in training camp. Train him mentally just as much as they train him physically. He's playing memory games. He's playing lightning games. After sparring, when a fighter's head is really rattled after a sparring session, they're playing chess. They're playing build the blocks. They want to keep his mind so sharp after it's been rattled that he can't be rattled in the ring. And it really showed. I mean, they're doing some incredible stuff over there in Team Lomachenko.
Yeah, to have those three belts, was it 12 fights in? That's just truly, truly amazing. And I'll be honest with you, he's one of my favorite people to watch fight.
Yeah,
because
you know,
he knows the showmanship too, Michelle. He's a showman.
Mm-hmm. You know what? He's become a likable fighter. At first, people maybe thought he was a little, you know, cold. But, you know, Russians and Ukrainians, they're, you know, that's just kind of how they talk. And now that he's learning English and he's able to communicate better and show his personality, people are falling in love with him. He's smiling more. He's talking more. You know, he's getting to fight on ESPN, which ESPN is a network where anybody who loves sports is going to watch, not just a boxing
right.
fan. You got baseball fans, college basketball. And right now, if Lomachenko decided never to fight again, he would go into the Hall of Fame, 10-1 in title fights. Think about
Crazy.
That. He is 10-1 in title fights. He would go into the Hall of Fame right now if he stopped fighting.
Well, let's hope he don't. Now, Triple G fought someone to make that date stick. He wants Canelo to take drugs. Now, from what I hear, Canelo's only eating meat off farms in Indiana now, so he don't have that excuse that it was the meat that did it to him. Will he submit to those random drug tests, you think? And will this fight ever happen?
You know, so let me rewind a little bit. Canelo and Golovkin, they fought to a very controversial draw back in September. And then Canelo was then suspended for 6 months on April 18th by the Nevada State Commission because he did test positive for a PED, a performance-enhancing drug. He said that it was coming from the meat in Mexico, which I'm so over that excuse. Like, it's old. It's been used. But anyway, he finally agreed yesterday, and he announced that he is going to enroll in a voluntary drug testing program that is year-round. And the Nevada State Commission should have made that, like, a mandatory, like, that should have been part of his punishment, but they didn't. But he did yesterday announce that he is going to enroll, and he is going to do it. So now the fight becomes a lot more easy to make for Team Golovkin because they want to know he's a clean fighter. And they should know he's a clean fighter. So they're both going to be enrolled in VADA testing.
Okay, good. And on the Carrie Lackey line with the Sarah in the Cave show, the one only Michelle Rosado, and she cleaned it up really nice for you because what I was about to say was that cheating-ass Canelo with his whiny-ass manager, Oscar De La Hoya, they cheated their way out of a fight, which would have been a big payday, and tried to make us make Triple G the bad guy for not wanting to fight a guy that was juiced up. But I like the way you cleaned it up. said it in the way that I would have said it. So I'm glad I didn't say it,
and you cleaned it up. Yeah,
well,
originally Canelo decided not to enroll in this testing program, and he got a lot of outrage on social media from the fans, the media, left and right. I mean, he was getting thrown under the bus, and so they had to do this. He has to prove that he is a clean fighter. He has to, and I think he heard the outrage yesterday, and then, like I said, he announced yesterday, you know what, I am going to roll. I am going to do the year-round testing. I am going to prove that I'm a clean fighter. So we'll see how he looks in September.
We shall see. We shall see. Heavyweights, Michelle. When will we as a country get interested in heavyweights again like we used to back in the 60s, 70s, 80s? Will we ever have another heavyweight that catches our attention?
Well, it's kind of starting to happen, okay? With Deontay Wilder, you know, he's still not a household name, the fighter from Alabama. He has been out there making a statement. They're trying to do some good press with him and publicity, you know, but he's still not that big name. I mean, if he was walking down the street in Phoenix, I don't know if anybody would recognize him. Now, over in the UK, they have Anthony Joshua. And he is mega, mega, mega over there. He is a star anywhere in the UK without being recognized and flooded and cameras. And he's the big thing out there. And I think it's going to take for Anthony Joshua and our guy Deontay Wilder to collide. And that's going to be the biggest heavyweight fight. And it's going to prove who is the heavyweight world champion of the world, who is the superstar. And it's going to take for that fight to happen.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I've been waiting. It's sad because ever since Mike Tyson, it seems like that division, just for the sake of the fans, hasn't been the same. I see that Kovalev and Alvarez are going to fight. Is this a good, watchable, light heavyweight fight to watch?
It is. It's going to be a good fight. The guy Alvarez has been in line to fight Adonis Stevenson for a couple of years, and they kept giving him step-aside money, so that Adonis could fight, you know, like Joe Blow. And there's a reason why they kept giving him step-aside money. They didn't want to take that risk with this guy Alvarez, and Alvarez isn't really known. You know, he's not very promotable or marketable, but he is a good fighter, and that's what people don't know. And we all know Kovalev, so it's going to be a really good fight. There's a reason why they kept paying this guy step-aside money not to fight Adonis Stevenson.
Two more quick ones before we get out of here. Terrence Crawford, is he one of the best pound for pound?
No, he is the best pound for pound. Right now, I know a lot of people have Lomachenko as, you know, he's no doubt the pound for pound number one fighter in the world. And I'm not going to argue that because of that big win he just had Saturday night over Linares. But right behind him is Terrence Crawford. And he's moving into the welterweight division. He fights June 9th. He's going to fight Jeff Horn on ESPN. And he's moving up a division, and he wants to be the undisputed champ at 147. And I have no doubt that he's going to go for it, and he's going to do it.
That welterweight division, though, with Keith Thurman, Spence Jr.,
mm-hmm.
Garcia, Sean Porter, it is tough. But please tell me why Manny Pacquiao is rated higher than a Danny Garcia and a Sean Porter when you look at the rankings of the way fights should break out. Why is he still so high?
I'm sorry, who'd you say was ranked high?
They have Manny Pacquiao as the third rated welterweight. Why?
Where is that? Is that like on BoxRec or is that in
the WBC? It's on the ESPN rankings.
Oh, well, that's a good question. The ESPN rankings are done by, I believe, Dan Raphael, who is their head boxing correspondent. I don't really know. It's not a panel. It's not a board. It's not an organization. It's kind of like a reporter, I think, who does his own rankings. So I'm not sure why Manny would still be that high. Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that.
All right. I saw that the other day, and I'm like, I don't even think he should still be fighting. But I was like, well, I definitely have to ask you that question online on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Michelle Rosato here with PLR. Last two questions. I know you're a boxing person to the heart. Boxing is what you do, but you've got to be wearing your Eagle stuff after winning the Super Bowl. You're a Philly girl. I know you're flying with those Eagles.
Yes, and you know what? We had a big show on ESPN a couple weeks ago in Philly. I purposely wore Eagles green, and we are still a fighting proud city out there. We're not going to let that one go for a long time. It was amazing. It was amazing, and I was actually in Philly when we won the Super Bowl, so the energy of the city, it was bananas. It was so much fun.
And then the question I've been asking everyone, and please don't let me down on this one, do you put ketchup on a hot dog?
Do I put ketchup on a hot dog?
Yes, does ketchup belong on a hot dog?
No, I put sauerkraut on my hot dog.
Okay. Okay, so that's East Coast. I gave it to you. There's all these people that are disrespecting a hot dog by putting ketchup on it. And I knew deep in my heart you weren't one of those people. And so I've been asking every guest I've had up until this Friday, I'm going to ask. And I'm finding there's only a couple people that do it, and I don't know if I'm going to let them back on the show again. Michelle, tell everyone how they could get a hold of you, how they could follow you, and what you have coming up.
All right. You could follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Raging Babe. And I am actually, which it hasn't been formally announced, but I'm coming back to Tucson in July, on July 13th. We're going to do a big show in Tucson for Tucson, and we're calling it Guerra de Gallos, which is a war of roosters, because that is what Tucson fighters are. They fight anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place. They're forced to fight on the road a lot because there's not local shows here in Tucson for them. So they finally get to showcase in Tucson and fight in front of their friends and their family, and we're bringing it back in a big, big way. So visit my website, RagingBabe.com, to stay up to date on the event and tickets and all that stuff. But we'll be rolling out the official announcement next week. So definitely stay tuned. And, Paul, I hope you can make it. You're going to want to be there, man. Our main event is so crazy.
You know what? I am going to put it on my calendar right now. That is the day. You know what? That is the weekend that I get back from Las Vegas. So I should be totally free. I'll be out there for NBA Summer League, but I'm going as a dad this year, not working. I'm actually taking my boys to soak up basketball, since for some reason, Michelle, figured it's become their favorite sport. I guess watching it every day for the last 6 and 8 years, it wore off on them.
Wow.
So, listen, though, my friend, I thank you. I really appreciate you coming on. I know how tight you are with time and just coming on. I appreciate it, and I'm very proud of you, and I will always follow you and always do whatever you need done on my end to help keep the word out about the best in the business.
Thank you so, so much, and we'll talk soon, and we'll definitely be seeing you in July.
All right, sounds good. Thanks again.
All right, have a good one. All right, bye, guys.
You too. See you later. Bye-bye. That is the one, the only, Michelle Rosado. Always great catching up with her. Listen, And I'm being honest with you. There are a lot of people that get into stuff, sports, being athletes, whatever, that you know that they're going to be special. And she is one of those people that you just knew was going to be special because no one outworks her or outthinks her. And she never, ever has forgotten anyone that she's met at all on the way ascending to the great heights. So anytime I can steal a couple minutes from her, believe me, I'm going to do it, and we'll turn this into a boxing forum. That does it for us today. Make sure you're following us at The Sports Cave on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, fan page. Cave is always with the K. TheSportsCave.com. Make sure you're reading those articles. Cave is always with the K. You get me directly at PLR on Sports. From Michelle Rosado on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, thank you. Until tomorrow, everyone, have a great day. This has been The Cave Show. This has been PLR. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everyone have a great day. Bye-bye.